We're doing something a little bit different today. Instead of a longer, hopefully unified sermon, we're going to have short reflections on each scripture reading. And I want to give some credit to the Reverend June Begany of the Presbyterian Older Adult Ministry Network. She offered some reflections that connect these passages to the issues of older adults. So here we go. So the psalmist sings, "Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning." These beautiful words come after the song begins recounting all God has already done. "I cried out to you for help and you healed me. Lord, you brought me up from the grave." The psalmist sings praises and says God's anger lasts only for a second, but God's favor lasts for a lifetime. This is the kind of wider vision or perspective that is frequently offered by others and often hard to remember when we are in the thick of it. The psalmist was in the thick of it. In the midst of distress, the psalmist had lost sight of the greatness of God's creation. And I wonder, when have you lost sight of the greatness of God's creation? When have you found it hard to remember God's presence? When have you felt stuck in the dark night, desperately waiting to wake in the morning? I remember a rather out-of-character move on my part. After Christmas this year, Jonathan and I decided on the spur of the moment, the night before, to do a 5K trail run up Flag Mountain in Weogufka, Alabama. I usually get in 2 miles each morning on the treadmill, so it shouldn't have been a problem, right? But it was December, and it had been raining, and I didn't really have the right gear for it, but it was just a 5K. I mean, that's only 3.1 miles. So even if it turned into a leisurely hike, I knew I'd be fine. But I wanted to run as much of it as I could. And then, as you'd expect on the Pinhoti Trail, the terrain was uneven. We encountered rocks and roots and mud. And I was so busy looking down at my feet and the ground under them that I lost track of where we were. I wasn't lost. There were no wrong turns on the course. But then Jonathan said something, and I don't know what it was, but it made me finally look up. And we came around the corner, and I was surprised to see the sun peeking through the leaves, sparkling on the trail, and dancing on the cool stream running by. It was beautiful. Now, I still had that last hill to push up to reach the fire tower and the finish line. The stream and the sunlight did not make the hill any less steep, but they did remind me of the bigger picture. The psalmist was so certain of God's favor, but found himself with his head down, focusing on the muddy, rocky trail beneath his feet, that he lost sight of the stream and the sunlight. The writer was dismayed by illness and unwanted change in life circumstance. But then the greater vision of God's grace came. The sweep of God's care granted the writer a wider vision of how God may be at work and that God would always be present. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the psalmist continues, "You have turned my mourning into dancing." Again, this is one of those passages that's frequently offered by others and often hard to remember when we are in the thick of it. Grief comes to all of us. There is no avoiding it ultimately. And rarely does grief follow any expert's stages or prescribed path. The emotions it produces can surprise us. The psalmist knew grief, yet had somehow come through that experience to again find joy. Yes, God can and will turn our mourning into dancing. And that doesn't have to happen before we're ready. That's the challenge for us who walk alongside people in grief. It is tempting to proclaim, "Hey, weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning." What we really need to do is to figure out when to allow them space and when to gently help them begin the process of moving on. And no matter what, we must trust God to be present in all the stages of our grief and to bring us through all the days. And so we pray. Lord, we know that you will turn our mourning into dancing. We ask you, gracious God, to grant each of us a larger vision of your love and grace, and walk with us in our grief, and return us to the joy of your salvation. Amen. children to join Pat on the rug for your time together.
Good morning. How's everybody? Good. I want to talk to you all about independence. So does anybody know what independence means? Okay, what's independence mean to you? That's right, to do things on your own. That's right, very good. I'm talking about the independence that sometimes we want as children. When we're young, we really want to be independent. We want to do things ourselves. And the independence that sometimes we lose as we get older, like me. I'm an older person. And as time goes on, I'm probably going to lose some of that independence. How many of you can ride a bicycle? You all ride bikes? Okay. Did your parents teach you how to ride a bike? All right, okay. Well, I was recently visiting my grandson, and he is almost 3 years old, and so he's really starting to voice his independence. He's wanting to do things himself. So I was trying to help him get dressed in the morning and things like that. And finally, one day, he looked at me and he said, "Grandma, Novi do it." He didn't want me to help him. He wanted to do it himself. And so he was really saying, "I want to be independent. I want to put my clothes on by myself." Even though the shoes went on the wrong feet, he wanted to do them himself because he wanted to be independent. But I was trying to help him out. But he wanted to do it himself. Do you all know some older people yourselves? You have grandparents or things like that? You know some older people? You know some older people in this congregation too, don't you? Older people like to be independent also. They don't want to be independent, to depend on other people. They want to continue to do things like they used to do them. Sometimes we tend to help them when they really don't need any help. So I would like for you to do something for me. When you're with some older people, your grandparents or some other people in this congregation, instead of going right in and maybe helping them because you think that they need help, I want you to say to them, "Can I help you? Or do you need any help?" But ask them first if they need some help. And that will help them to keep their independence as long as possible. Okay? Okay, let's pray. Y'all follow after me. Dear Lord, help us to help others when they want help. Help us to be aware of everyone around us, the young and the old. We thank you for the wonderful, special people you have made us to be. Help us to care for one another. Amen.
Our gospel reading for today is John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 109 of the New Testament. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, He put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In that story, before the disciples know that it's Jesus who is standing on the shore, what is their response? They did what he said. They followed his instructions. Their obedience preceded recognition. It is in their obedience that they discover it is the Lord standing there on the shore. This post-resurrection story is a revelation of divine mystery and an expression of the transformative presence of God. John says, just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. The disciples were tired. They were discouraged. The disciples had seen the risen Lord in Jerusalem, but they were unsure of the next steps. So they returned to what is familiar, fishing. But they had caught nothing all night. And in the dawn, they see a figure on the shore, and they hear the voice that calls them, and they hurry to obey Jesus' directions, and then they come to shore. The disciples were tired and discouraged, so they returned to what they knew. They sought solace in the familiar. This is certainly understandable. All of us may seek solace in the familiar when we are worn out. And for some people, as they age, familiar behaviors and patterns can be a comfort. You know all those jokes about Presbyterians and change? Well, really, most people are at least uncomfortable with change, even when they know it's the good and right thing to do. Moving in a new direction is a challenge. And as we age, we may be faced with moving from our home of many years, or giving up some independence, or having to learn new ways to do things so that we can keep our independence. And that is uncomfortable. But Jesus calls us forward. He calls each of us into the future even as we age. And Jesus uses our past to prepare us for a new day. And so we must trust Jesus to guide us into the future. And at the end of this story, there's the interaction with Jesus and Peter. And Jesus reminds Peter of the changes that will come in life. I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and walked around wherever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and another will tie your belt and lead you where you don't want to go. It's true, not just for Peter, but for all of us. As we grow older, things change. And this is the day that we have set aside to lift up older adult ministry. It's also a day when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And whether we come forward to receive the bread and juice by intinction or pass the trays down the pews as we will today, at communion we hold out our hands to receive the elements. No matter our physical abilities, this reminds us that we all need to receive God's help for our lives. Pat talked to the children about this. It's one of the challenges of aging, knowing when to ask for help, knowing when to hold out our hands and receive, and knowing when to remain independent, to do it ourselves. And those who are the helpers have this challenge too. How do we know when to step in and offer help and when to step back and allow another to be an independent, even if slower than before? As Pat said, asking is a good way to figure out which one of those to do. Because knowing the difference, both for ourselves and for others, is a matter of discernment, but it also takes grace. And it is by God's grace that we have a tomorrow to prepare for, and that we have a community to accompany us as we discern how we navigate all of this. We prepare for tomorrow through the practice of learning to adjust to changes rather than resisting them. We receive help from others and God as we continue to share our gifts. And so we pray. O God, may your Spirit fill us with grace and courage as we move into your future. God of all our years, remind us that you are always with us, guiding us and sustaining us. Amen.